I want you to turn to Acts chapter 26 on page 935 in the Church Bible. And just by way of announcement, some of you remember Michelle and Andrew Barsh. We were collecting supplies for them as they go to adopt their adopted daughter in Ethiopia. Well, they did get word they can leave next week, next Sunday they're leaving, and they'll be there for 7 days. Unfortunately, they can't take their adopted daughter home when they go this time. They have to go and do some paperwork and just a couple of pretty much hoops that they have to jump through. They're going to bring the supplies that that we brought in. So I want to encourage you, because we had 4 bins overflowing with stuff, and somewhere in the neighborhood of upwards over $1,000 came in to ship all that stuff. So thank you for your generosity. But please keep Andrew and Michelle in prayer as they travel. They're leaving Sunday. Their 2 other daughters will be staying here, and they'll, you know, obviously have different babysitters and stuff during the time. So just pray, because their little ones are 4 and 7. So, you know, missing their parents and stuff as they're away for a week. So please keep them in your prayers. What we're doing today is we're starting a new series. It's called The Power of Story. And basically, we're going to learn about how to share our own story. So you received a green piece of paper on the way in. If you didn't receive one on the way in, please grab one on the way out. I'm going to talk more about that as we get into the message this morning. So I'd like to open us in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into God's word. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this day. Thank you for each person that's here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us each a story. You've written a story in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would inspire us to share it with other people. And I'm just thankful, Lord, for what you've done thus far in this church. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to write the story in this church and through the people here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So everyone has a story, and I believe that it's important for us as believers to hear the stories of our fellow believers. Here's a few reasons why I think it's really important for us to hear other people's stories. The first is this: so we know where the person's coming from. You know, in life, we interact with a lot of people, and in our church, we'll interact with a lot of other people. And it's important for us to realize where someone's coming from, what their past has been like, and a lot of times we can be very judgmental or lack compassion, or we can be tough on other people. So if we know kind of the story where God has brought them from, maybe we'll have a little more compassion. Maybe we'll be able to commiserate with them a little better. The second thing is that it helps us to help them to minister. If you know someone's story and what God has done in their life, you might know someone else that can benefit from that person's story. For instance, as a pastor, I talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people come to me with a lot of different issues that come up in their lives. And of course, I know where to point them to in the scriptures, but some of the times, things that I've never experienced before in my life, there are people in this church that have experienced those things and can be very helpful for that person. For instance, if someone's dealing with addiction, they come to me. Well, if I know somebody who's been delivered from the power of addiction in their life, that would be a good person for them to talk to. If someone loses a child, you know, there's people in this church that have lost a child, so they would be good for that person to talk with. So it really helps us to help other people use their story to minister. And thirdly is this: we're encouraged by God's power, aren't we? When we hear a story of God's power in someone's life, the bottom line is it's encouraging. Now, there's benefits to sharing your own story as well. First, it reminds us of when Jesus showed up in our life, when we were lost and then Jesus found us, and he showed up in a mighty way and brought us to himself. The second is God uses what happens in our life to communicate his word to other people. And the third is really this: it's a great witness to non-believers. Here's what happens in life. When you start telling other people about the Lord, they'll argue with you at some point. They'll argue with you about God's word really being God's word. They'll argue with you about creation. They'll say, oh, I can't buy an almighty God creating everything. They'll argue with you about things like the resurrection of Jesus. But one thing they really can't, I mean, I guess they could, but they really don't have much of a ground to argue with, is your personal experience with the Lord. See, when you have a personal experience with the Lord, other people will look and say, you know what? this is something that has gone on in their life, that they believe has happened to them. And you know what? In this day and age of tolerance and acceptance, in some senses, people have to accept our story. People have to listen up and say, okay, you know what? This is something that's happened in this person's life. So how do we really tell our story? And really the goal of this message is to inspire you, but not only that, teach you how to formulate your story. So not only can you share it with us, but so you can share it really in life with other people. So in Acts 26, what we're going to do is we're going to learn like an easy to remember outline for you to communicate your story with other people. That outline is on that green piece of paper for you. So it's very easy, but that doesn't mean you can check out right now and not listen to the message. But note takers rejoice. What we've given you today is like gold to you. Blank space. We never do that around here. We never give you blank space. So happy birthday. You got some blank space also to take some notes. So here we go. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to first see what happened in Paul's life. And just to give you some background, the background is this. Paul is going before the authorities because there's an accusation against him. The accusation is that he's teaching heresy. He's telling other people about Jesus, and the Jewish people believe it's heresy. They don't want Paul doing this. So Paul is doing this, and now he's going before the authorities, and he's making a defense for himself. And interestingly enough, when he makes this defense, here's what he's doing. He's actually sharing his story. So the first thing that we see is Paul shares about his life before he trusted in Jesus. So Paul makes an appeal and states, hey, listen, I was a good Jewish man. And actually, he's making a case of saying he was one of the best. Okay, let's look at verses 1 through 7 and see what Paul says. He says this, chapter 26, starting in verse 1, it's on page 935 in the Church Bible. He says this, he's going before King Agrippa. And King Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. I consider myself fortunate that is before you, King Agrippa. I am going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. He goes on, verse 4. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time. If they are willing to testify that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain. As they earnestly worship night and day, and for this hope I am accused by the Jews. So you see what Paul's saying here? He's saying, listen, here's how it all began for me. For me, as a boy, a young boy, I rose up, and by the strictest of my people, I became a Pharisee. I was a good, God-fearing Pharisee. And he's saying, he was clinging to the hope of our forefathers. So basically what Paul is saying is, listen, all these Jews that are making the accusation against me, here's the thing. I was a good Jew. Everyone knows that I was a good Jewish person. I was a Pharisee. I was in the highest rank. So then in verse 8, he says something interesting. He asks this question. He's saying, okay, I was a God-fearing man. I listened to what the rules were, so to speak, and I was clinging to the hope that we had from our forefathers. So then he says in verse 8 this, interestingly enough, he says, why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? So he asks a question. He's saying, okay, you guys all share the same belief. We believe in a hope that's from God. Now all of a sudden you're questioning the fact that God could raise someone from the dead, obviously talking about Jesus. So as he's making his case and his defense for himself, he's saying, listen, we all believe this stuff. And now all of a sudden you guys are putting on the brakes when it seems like something impossible happens, but I've clung to this. I've realized the hope that was in the forefathers communicating that something like this would happen, which would be the Messiah. But then Paul goes on in verses 9 through 12, and he starts to commiserate. And he's saying, hey, listen, I can kind of understand how you guys feel this way about me, because I felt the same way that you did about the Christians. And here's what I did. Let's look at verses 9 through 12. He said, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. So now what Paul says is this. He's saying, listen, I was a good Jew. I was a good Jewish man. I was a Pharisee. And here's what I did. Because I was a Pharisee, because I thought I was doing the work of God, I made sure the message of Jesus of Nazareth did not go out. Not only did I make sure it didn't go out, I persecuted them heavily. If they were put on trial to be put to death, I cast a vote to get them killed. That's the type of person I was. I thought I was serving God, but I wasn't. And I could see you guys now think you're serving God by putting me on trial, but actually, you're not. So he's making a defense, but in that, what he's doing is he's sharing his story. This is what I was like before Jesus showed up. He did this so the Jewish people would know where he was coming from, so the Jewish people would know what his worldview was and what his worldview is, and so they would also know, now here's where he makes a transition, that he's still serving God. He was serving God early on, and then when this whole Jesus thing came up, he thought he was serving God, but actually, he was going against God. So now listen, this is what Paul was like before Jesus showed up. The question I want to ask you is this: what was your life like before Jesus showed up in your life? I mean, we know Jesus is always here. But before you realized he was showing up in your life and calling you to himself, were you a good religious person? Did you have all the boxes checked? I do good. I go to church. I'm a religious person. Maybe you were the exact opposite. Maybe you outwardly rejected Jesus. And there was people around you that said, that person would never become a Christian. They're a rejecter. They hate the church. They hate God. They hate anything about religion or Jesus or anything like that. Or maybe you were just very hedonistic. Maybe you were all about yourself and all about your own personal happiness. Maybe you were very materialistic. Maybe you were rude, angry, difficult. The list goes on. What were you like before you came to Christ? That's what I'm asking you to think about. I'm asking you to think about, as you write your story, what was really important to you? What was something that you trusted in that wasn't Jesus? How were you going the wrong way? Or how were you going a way that you thought was right, but was so unbelievably wrong? But then the next thing that Paul shares is how Jesus showed up. Now, this is what he says when he comes to the king. He's like, this is how I was. This is the respect I had amongst the Jewish people that are bringing me up on trial. Now, this is what happened. He said in verse 12, In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. So basically what he was saying is, during this persecution, during what I was doing, then I was on the road to Damascus, going to do this very same thing. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when he had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew language. Now I want to stop. And this is where Jesus actually showed up. On his way to persecute the church, a bright light came to Paul. And it was the moment when Jesus showed up. Now listen to what Jesus said to Paul. Verse 14, he said to me in Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, which was Paul's name before he was named Paul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, there's two things. And the second thing that he says, you're like, what? And I'm going to explain that to you. But the first thing I want to focus in on is Jesus says this, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, interestingly enough, Paul or Saul never had the opportunity to personally persecute Jesus. But what he was doing was persecuting Jesus' followers. So now Jesus personalizes it and says, you know what? If you're persecuting my followers, you're persecuting me. Think about it this way. Jesus calls the church his bride. Any of you men in this room, if you have a wife and somebody wages war against them, do you step up and be a man and say, game on? Okay, you're persecuting her or giving her a problem. You got a problem with me now. That's how Jesus looks at us. He's saying, if you have a problem with my people, you have a problem with me. So he calls Paul out and he says, why are you persecuting me? But then interestingly enough, he says this, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. And you scratch your head at this point and say, what? What in the world does that mean? Well, let me just tell you, here's what a goad is or an ox goad is. It's a long pole or a stick that has a point on it. And when someone was plowing with oxen, they would hold that stick out and jab the oxen just a little bit to get it going forward and get it going straight. So when an oxen would kick against the goad, what would naturally happen would be that goad would go further in. So here's what Jesus is actually saying. Paul, you think that you're serving God, but you're doing more damage because I am God. That's what he's saying. He said, you think you're a good Jewish man doing the kingdom well, but you're not. You're actually kicking against the goads. You're actually making things more difficult for not only yourself, but you're damaging the work of the kingdom. But the second thing is interesting, because remember, Paul, or Saul, at that point his name was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee, he was a Roman citizen, he was very educated. He was like a high society Jew. So now what Jesus is saying is you're acting like an ox. That's what you're doing, Paul. You, in your stubbornness and in your unbelief, you're acting like an ox. He's calling him a beast. So kicking against goads refers to the futility of him persecuting the church. You're kicking against something that you should be part of, that you think you're part of. You're going against this and you're harming the work of God. So now at this point, Paul hears this voice and he said, verse 15, and I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. So now Jesus shows up. He identifies himself and says, hey, listen, it's me. I am God. I'm the one true God. I'm the one you should be serving. I am the one who you are going to serve. Because now it's like Jesus is saying, you're trying to work for God? Well, now I'm going to put you to work for me and in my name. And then in verse 16 through 17, he kind of gives Paul his very specific mission. He says this, but rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to these things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. So now what he says is, okay, rise up. Here's your mission. You thought you were serving God. Now you're actually going to serve God. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to bring my message to the very people that you think are less than you. Do you know the Jewish people at that time really didn't think very highly of Gentiles? They thought they were dogs. They looked at them as a lesser, not chosen of God. And here's what Jesus is saying to Paul. Here's what you're going to do. You're no longer going to persecute the church. You're going to get in line and you're going to serve God and you're going to go and tell them about me. That's your specific mission. Now, we know as Christians that when we become a Christian, we might not know our specific calling from God, but we definitely know our general calling. The general calling of every Christian is this, to bring the gospel message to everyone that we know. That's the general calling. And you know what? Maybe some of you have felt that way when you first became a Christian. You were so excited, right? You were like, I just want to tell everybody about this. I have this new joy. I'm saved now. I'm a Christian now. I want to tell everybody about this. But then later on in life, maybe some years later, God really called you to very specific ministry. I mean, for me, I know it was about a year later that I felt really called into vocational ministry, pastoral ministry. But interestingly enough, now in verse 18, here's what he says you're calling them to. He says this, verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So now what he says is this. This is what you're calling them to, a gospel message. Salvation through Jesus. See, you and I both know this, that Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, he was coming to offer forgiveness of our sins. He did that by dying on the cross. Jesus rose again 3 days later to show and prove that he was God. And Jesus said in his own words, all who believe will have eternal life. So what Jesus is saying to Paul is this, you're calling them out of darkness and into light. That's what you're going to do. That's what's happened to you at this moment right now. You have been called out of darkness and into light. So this is what happened. This is how Jesus showed up in Paul's life. Now, here's what I want to ask you, and here's what I want you to do. What were the events that led you to trust in Jesus? Maybe it was coming to church on a Sunday and you heard the gospel message. Maybe it was a person that invited you to something or just started talking with you. Maybe it was someone at work that started telling you about the Lord. Maybe it was a friend that invited you to an event at the church. Maybe it was a troubled time. Maybe you were just going through such a difficult time and you knew nowhere else to turn and you had a Christian friend that started to talk with you and pray for you. Maybe it was a good time in your life. Things were going really well. I don't know what it was, but all of us have a story. Maybe it was reading through God's word. Maybe you were kicking against the goads, okay? Maybe you were just very stubborn and did not want to submit to the Lord. And finally, you realize that he truly is the only way. See, when you're writing your story, reflect upon how God brought you to him. That's really a big part of your story, isn't it? How God showed up. How Jesus showed up. See, what Paul does next, though, is he then tells the king what his life is like after trusting in Christ, or what his life has been like since he's been a Christian. And now, by way of encouragement, I just want to say something here. Some of you are thinking about your story now, and you're thinking, okay, I became a Christian when I was like 5 years old. And like, I can't really think of like some mean testimony. Like I didn't share my Legos. I was climbing out of the crib. I was a bad kid. Okay. Some of you don't have that type of testimony where you were so radically different and then Jesus showed up and now you're so radically different. I know for my kids, all my kids trusted in Christ at a very young age. And you know what? I'm glad, okay? As a Christian dad, that's what you want, okay? You want your kids to come to the Lord at an early age. And guess what? The beauty of that is this. Their story, and maybe your story, is more what God has done in your life since you've been a Christian. So you might focus more in on that when you're writing your story. You know what? Yeah, I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home and have godly parents that taught me the word at a very early age. I was blessed to come to know him at a very early age. That's amazing testimony. I love those testimonies. So you're writing kind of how you've been in Christ and how you've lived in Christ and what the Lord has done. So let's look at verses 19 through 23 and find out what Paul says about his own story after he trusted in Christ. He says, therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. So he's saying, I got my act together and I trusted in Jesus and I followed him. But declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. So now, here's what Paul does. He says, this is what my life has been like. Jesus showed up, and it's never been the same. This is what my life consists of. I go and tell others how they need to trust in Jesus. One of the things I love what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, this is what he says about his life. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this, his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was in me. So here's what Paul's saying. Here's what my life has been like. There is no way that that grace came to me in vain. I worked, but it wasn't me. It was God in me working. What he's saying is the story that I'm writing is a life of obedience to the call that God has put on my life. So what has your life been like as a Christian? You know, it's sad to say, I know a lot of people that have been Christians for many, many years, and it doesn't seem like there's much of a story. I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, and that's about it. That shouldn't be our story. You know what? When you write your story for us, here's what I wanted to end with. Dot, dot, dot. That means there's a continuation, right? Because we're continuing to write a story. Maybe you'd have to wake up right now and say, you know what? Yeah, I became a Christian. I have this amazing story. But you know, the last 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years, you know, it hasn't been much of a story at all. It's kind of been very status quo. And if they were to make a movie out of it, it'd be a very boring movie and nobody'd want to watch it. So what are some of the highlights of your Christian life? What are some of the struggles that God has delivered you from? What have you been doing to serve him? Has anyone around you become a Christian? Have you been witnessing the friends, family members, neighbors, and people are getting saved? People are becoming Christians. What's your story like? So here's what I want you to do. For the first thing in our series for this summer that we're going to spend in this Power of Story series is this. I want you to write your story. On that little green paper, it gives you kind of a brief outline. What your life has been like before, what your life was like before you trusted Christ, how Jesus showed up, and what your life has been like since you've been a Christian. I want you to take some time. I want you to write that out. You don't have to use that exact outline, but we want to hear your story. Here's what I want to do. Just like school, we have a due date. Okay, I'm going to give you a due date, and here's why. Because if I don't, I probably will never get what I've asked for. I've given you 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and here's what you need to do. Write out your story. If you want to hand it in old school, you can bring in paper, type paper, and hand it in to Ryan. If you want to get one of those nice folders to impress the teacher, that's great too. Hand it in to Ryan. If you're a little more computer savvy, you can upload it on the internet. There'll be directions there on a link. Here's why. I want you and I to be encouraged by the work that God has done in your life. Here's the plan. I don't know if this is going to come to a fruition. I hope it does. But I'd like to put it together in a little booklet that we can share with everybody. So here's what I will say, because a couple of people asked me questions. Well, what if there's things that I'm embarrassed of that I don't want to share or that I don't want other people to know? I said, don't put it in there, okay? Just don't put it in the testimony. You know, but if you want me to know, you can put a little side note. Pastor Mike, I just want to know this was really an eventful thing that I just wanted to share with you. But the most important thing is we're doing this to encourage one another and the great things that God has done. Because you know what? God's writing a story. He's writing a story through your lives and through my life. He's not done with the story. He's not finished with us. So I want you to do that. I want you to do that. The other thing is this. Some of you might have a story that you might want to share publicly with other people. And we would like to videotape some of the people sharing their story, so we can use it in the future, maybe in a sermon series or something. That's important as well. But the third thing, and I think you have to really think about this, we know that we're not here forever, right? Okay, we all die. We're all at grips with that, right? Okay, if this is news to you, I'm sorry, but you're not going to be here forever on this earth. You're going to pass from this earth. And you know what? Some of you have not formulated this story. have not formulated this story for your children, for your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. When you do this, here's what's going to happen. You're going to formulate this story, and it's going to live on in your family. You know, and maybe years and years from now, somebody's going to find a box in the attic, and they're going to find great-great-great-grandma or great-great-great-grandpa's testimony. What an amazing legacy that you can leave for generations to come by just recording the part of the story that you've lived already. The encouragement that you could send from generations to generations, gospel-centered encouragement. You know, when you're writing this story, remember how Jesus showed up, what he did in your life, how he brought you to himself. It's so important that we share these stories, and there's so much power in each story of your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here, and I thank you for the stories that you have written in our lives. Lord, I do pray a special prayer for anyone that feels like the story of you showing up has not happened yet. I pray that they would trust in you. I pray for the Christians, Lord. I pray that as we reflect on how you brought us to yourself, that we're encouraged by it. But as we reflect on how our life has been since, I pray that you would encourage us to continue to write the story, to continue to live out your purposes and your guidelines for our lives. And I'm just thankful again for this church. I'm thankful for being part of the story. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Everybody please rise.